Welcome to Humboldt County Grown, the podcast that digs into the dirt, the dreams, and the daily life of small-scale agriculture here in Humboldt County, California. I'm your host, Gwilym Walker, and today we're talking to Megan Kenny from North Coast Growers Association about their cooperative distribution program. Megan, can you start by giving us a quick overview of NCGA's mission and what the cooperative distribution program does to further that mission?
Absolutely. The North Coast Growers Association is an agricultural support nonprofit based in Humboldt County. We support a robust and thriving local food system through our three different program areas. We run our Humboldt County Farmers Markets. We have our agricultural programs and then our cooperative distribution program, which I am the director of. Our cooperative distribution really helps connect wholesale farmers with additional market opportunities while also identifying gaps in critical food infrastructure here on the North Coast.
And so within the Harvest Box program, if for people who are unfamiliar, it's kind of a CSA program, but it's a little bit different from a traditional CSA. Can you speak a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We developed the Harvest Box program back in the spring of 2020, right when the COVID-19 pandemic was starting to become an issue. It is a multi-farm CSA, which means that we collect produce from a variety of different farms for our boxes. A traditional CSA is usually implemented by a single farm. Generally, customers pay into that CSA over the winter months when there isn't a lot of produce available. And then throughout the summer is when they pick up their weekly CSA boxes. The Harvest Box program is just a week-to-week ordering system, so customers can order a single box if they want. Or we also have subscriptions, so people can get a box every single week or every other week, depending on the frequency that they would like it. And we actually now deliver these Harvest Boxes directly to people's houses.
So it's a lot more variety in terms of your options for what kind of deal you want in terms of getting it regularly or more regularly. And with delivery, have you been doing that already, or is it just started?
We started deliveries, I believe, in 2022. We had expanded our pickups to be from just primarily at the Arcata Farmers Market when we first started. Mm-hmm. We started offering pickups in different communities, and one of our staff members, Catherine, was actually working for the post office at that point.
Oh, okay.
So she was doing all of the pickups and said, you know what would probably take a lot less time is if I just got in a car and drove these around to all of the people's houses instead of just sitting here in a single location, which we had never considered, you know, as operating farmers markets. We basically, we show up someplace, we pop up our canopies and everyone comes to us. Mm-hmm. So I had never considered that home delivery might be actually easier and more cost effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's been a growing thing, especially I think that was another thing that grew with COVID was home delivery. And I think also to some extent, like Amazon making that kind of normal, the people expecting shipping and delivery, which it was one of those things I feel like coming out of COVID was one of those things we all ended up enjoying more. Mm-hmm. And being like, you know what, actually this works. It's cool to see that people can get that. Is it right to their front door delivery?
Yep, right to their front door.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of it is that if we kept doing it as a pickup site, especially at farmers markets, mm-hmm. once farmers markets were more safe to be, when you were able to really shop more in the public's eye, we were missing a whole bunch of customers who maybe work during the farmers market, so they couldn't come pick up the boxes.
Right.
You know, we have some newer moms who are customers, just because to get a baby all ready to go outside on a mission is sometimes, you know, takes many more hours than you think. So a lot of our customers are customers who maybe can't access farmers markets for a variety of different reasons. So it's really made the program more accessible to a wider customer base as well.
Yeah, because the farmer's market, it's a blast, it's a hoot, but it is also once a week. and it's pretty crowded too. So I could see if you're busy or if the crowds are a challenge for you, it's so nice to be able to get the same access to the same produce without having to make a whole day out of it or like work your schedule around it. And then I noticed as well, you guys accept EBT, so how important is that type of accessibility to the program?
Yeah, it's so important to us to be able to reach a wide range of customers. Not only do we accept EBT, but we also offer a market match, which doubles the first half of spending that people spend on their boxes. So our EBT customers, while boxes are $25, our EBT customers only pay $13, and then they get a $12 market match on top of that.
Oh, wow. So it's basically half off.
Yes.
That's incredible. And they can get that delivered too?
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, this next question, this is a big one. What's the biggest challenge in running a multi-farm CSA? Or maybe what have been some of the biggest challenges?
I think initially just learning about how to pack a CSA, you know, was definitely a huge learning curve. We started out in 2020 at Mike Hallady Mushrooms' site. Mm-hmm. He was nice enough to let us use his facility. We were outside, so each week we would have to set up a canopy, and we'd put together all of these cardboard boxes in the wind that were always getting blown around. So we learned a lot of things just about how to make sure that, you know, we're counting the boxes appropriately. In what order do we do things? Do we just start packing the boxes, or should we weigh out produce ahead of time? So I think, yeah, just one of the biggest challenges was just learning about how to create and run a completely new program. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when you start doing deliveries, that adds a whole nother level of challenges. You know, how do you make sure you're going to the right house? Where is the position of the sun? So if the person isn't home, how do you make sure that the produce is being kept in the shade for the whole day?
Right.
So a lot of our challenges are more logistical than to accessing the food.
Mm-hmm.
In Humboldt County, we're so lucky to have just such a wide variety of microclimates and also farmers. So another cool thing or difference, I guess, about having a multi-farm CSA is we can get a lot of the really hot weather crops like stone fruit from Newcomb Family Farms or, you know, corn from Willow Creek Farms paired with our cooler coastal crops. So you can have tomatoes in the same box as you have lettuce, where a lot of times those two crops in Humboldt County can't really grow at the same time because it gets too hot for lettuce by the time that tomatoes are growing. And then on the coast, you can't always grow tomatoes or stone fruit in the same way.
Right. Yeah. I have a garden on the coast and I do spinach all year, but that's definitely not something you can do inland. But then I love going to the farmer's market and getting stone fruit from, Willow Creek Farms. I feel like, setting up something new like that, the Harvest Hub and the deliveries, it really is those kind of nitty-gritty details you don't realize until you're doing it, which I'm sure a lot of farmers can relate to as well. It's, you don't realize this small aspect of the what you're trying to produce ends up being like this kind of bottleneck that you're focusing on for a while, and then you realize like, oh, it's really important we figure out like where's the sun gonna be in July on someone's porch. I know the Harvest Hub is a kind of bigger branching aspect of the Harvest Box. Can you talk about the Harvest Hub a little bit and its wholesale distribution system?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we were doing our Harvest Box program, we just realized how much extra produce was around in Humboldt County. You know, NCGA historically had just been operating farmers markets, and suddenly we became a wholesale buyer of produce for our farmers, which is the first time we had ventured into that.
Mm-hmm.
And through talking with a lot of the farmers, we realized how many challenges there were with really getting their products to wholesale buyers. You know, if you are a single farm and you're working with, you know, 10 or 20 restaurants and local grocery stores, every single week, you're on the phone texting or having phone calls with every single one of those buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're writing every single one of those invoices and then having to drive around for an entire day or two entire days of, out of your week to go to all of these buyers. So we figured if we were already a drop point for our farmers to be able to bring us produce for the Harvest Box, we could also help coordinate some extra sales with them through the Harvest Hub, which is our wholesale arm, and help them do those deliveries. So now we are a single location where they can drop off all of the produce that is ordered. They write us one invoice. We are the one point of communication. And then we actually go out and do all of the deliveries. And we take care of all the communication with all of the different customers.
Okay. So the Harvest Hub wholesale kind of came out of the Harvest Box program?
Yes. There had been conversations about creating a food hub, which is the model that the Harvest Hub is based around for, you know, at least a decade prior to that. It just never had someone who wanted to step up and really plan it and operate it. So as we were planning that, we really realized, you know, if we have a food hub here for local produce, it should be owned and operated by the farmers, right? So NCGA was really a natural fit to take the lead on that project because, you know, if it's a private entity, sometimes if the wrong people get in charge, you know, you start asking farmers to drop their prices. You know, the middle of the supply chain there where the Harvest Hub is in between the farmers and the buyers really hold a lot of power because they're the ones who are setting prices for customers, setting prices for farmers.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that if an entity like this was being developed, that it was really had farmers at the heart of its decision-making process.
Right, I see, because keeping farmers having that decision-making power helps kind of keep that connection between farmers and distribution and the customers in the end. It kind of helps not have that disconnect that you might have if they don't have that decision-making power.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any type of online marketplace that can be done through the Harvest Hub? Do farmers use a website, or how does it work when a farmer wants to distribute produce through the Harvest Hub?
Yeah, we use a program called Local Food Marketplace, which has been developed specifically for food hubs. So because we are here to serve our farmers, we have sort of a couple different options for farmers. Either they can learn how to use this technology and get on their own, and each week they can list what they have available, or they can just, you know, shoot us a text message and we'll load everything for them. And the website works very similarly as any other distributor website, so it's really easy for a wholesale buyer to transition from, let's say, ordering from Sysco to ordering from Local Food Marketplace. So the way that that process works is that on Mondays, our orders go live for our customers. So that's when the farmers either get into Local Food Marketplace themselves and up their availability, or they send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Customers get on from Monday through Wednesday and they put in all of their orders. And then on Wednesday, when we close orders, we send out what's been ordered from our farmers so they can start planning their pick schedule for the rest of the week. And then they come bring all of their food here to the Harvest Hub on Fridays. And that's when we pack our Harvest Box CSAs and get everything all aggregated and sorted to go out to all of the different buyers.
Okay. So what about wholesale buyers? Do they ask what they want and then farmers grow that? Or is it more farmers grow something and say they've got it available and then wholesale buyers kind of look at what's available and then pick from that? Like if I were to grow a big crop of garlic to sell, would I as a grower be looking for a wholesale customer who's saying, I want a large order of garlic?
No, Local Food Marketplace works like any other larger distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So when buyers go on there, they see everything that's available here locally.
Okay.
Whereas opposed to Sysco, where you might have, you know, you can buy romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
And that's all you know. Maybe it's organic. You know, you're buying organic romaine lettuce or conventional romaine lettuce. Mm-hmm. When a buyer goes onto our website, they see, oh, we have this romaine lettuce from Earthly Edibles Farm, or you can get some romaine from Faircur Farm, okay. or maybe from Shake Fork Farm. So you might see 3 to 5 different farms all growing the same product. So each one of those products has its own option to purchase. So the customers really are able to try out produce from a bunch of different farmers and decide what really is working best for their needs.
I like that. It also keeps it so your product, if it is distinct, doesn't get kind of, doesn't lose its, I don't know, branding maybe, mm-hmm. With another farmer's product who's growing, let's say, a really similar crop or the same crop, but it doesn't have the same quality or aspects to it. 'Cause if you're selling together and you're not necessarily working under a co-op with, you know, rules about what keeps the brand on brand, I could see how you might, selling to someone like Cisco or like that, feel like you, if you've got a superior product, you don't kind of want it to get watered down, being on the shelf with lots of other products that might not be the same. So I like that. I like that you get to, like, pick individual farmers, and if a buyer decides, like, I really like this farmer's carrots, like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go for that. And it helps encourage people, I think, too, to, like, grow the best as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it also allows each farmer to set their own prices. We don't standardize any pricing. Farmers, basically, when they list their products, they say the price that they want to get for their item.
Mm-hmm.
We do help. We put out a farm report each year that sort of shows the year before what the range that product was sold for the year before, because, you know, we don't want farmers to basically have this race to the bottom where they're guessing what the pricing is and maybe they're trying to undercut each other, because that's really not sustainable. So we really want to make sure that all of our farmers are getting a fair market price. So that's why we share sort of like this range of what people have sold for, because, you know, we have some farmers who have been around for decades. They have, you know, they're on a little bit of a larger scale and they have a lot of experience with wholesale. So they're able to offer a lower price for their wholesale products than a smaller farm who's maybe newer, just starting out, or maybe they're only growing on a single acre. And they have higher inputs generally when they're a smaller farm, just because they're not growing as much food. So it really mm-hmm. allows the farmer to get the price that they need for their own individual business. And it's been really interesting, because you would think that as a buyer, some people would just always be going for the lowest price, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I feel like we've seen a lot of schools and, you know, Food for People and some of our local tribes will sort of try out a bunch of different similar products from different farms to see which one they like the best for their, whatever they're doing, if they're packing a box for their clients or mm-hmm. if they're, you know, really using it in the cafeteria. So maybe it's just something that processes down a little bit more easily.
Yeah, and I could see that also coming from our variety we have available here. People would be willing to spend different prices to see what types of different product we have. Like, let's say we use garlic as an example. There's, garlic that could be used for making wholesale products. If you're, like, doing a large value-added product, someone making sauce or cooking large meals like in institutions, or garlic for personal use, or just garlic for resale. I could see how you would want to shop around a bit and see what variety we have out here. And we would have a lot of variety too with our microclimates. Garlic down on the coast grows well, so does garlic way up in the hills. It's a good crop as an example, because it does grow everywhere mm-hmm. here, but it does grow differently depending where and what variety. And so, yeah, I like that. I wanted to ask about delivery and for Harvest Box, but then also what your range is for farmers for the Harvest Hub who come to deliver here.
Yeah, for Harvest Box, we deliver to people's houses. If you live from Trinidad, all the way down through Fortuna. This year we just, in June, started offering a delivery day in Fortuna. We do hope to expand that slightly. We just started a partnership this year with the Humboldt County Office of Education, where we are using some schools as pickup sites for harvest boxes. So families and also the teachers and staff in the schools can order a harvest box.
Okay.
And so we started out that pilot in a zone that we don't currently deliver harvest boxes to. So we're working with Cuddyback School down in Carlotta.
Okay.
And also Scotia Elementary School.
Okay, so like creeping our way down south slowly?
Yes.
I like that. And I like, yeah, using a public institution like that. Everybody's already going there. It's in the center of town. It's mm-hmm. open almost 7 days a week, all year. Mm-hmm. So that seems like a, yeah, creative solution.
Yeah, and then in terms of our Harvest Hub delivery range, we do make weekly deliveries up to Klamath. We work with the Yurok tribe, and they order some food from us, so we go up there for deliveries. And we go as far south as Scotia. And we also, during the school year, work with Burnt Ranch Elementary School out right on the border, right across Trinity County line.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's pretty far. And what do you think's a barrier for getting further north or south, or do you think that's kind of the capacity for a nonprofit like us?
Well, until a couple months ago, we only had a single delivery vehicle, so that was the biggest barrier, was just not having another vehicle to do deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to access a grant through the California Department of Food and Agriculture called the Resilient Food System Infrastructure Grant. So we just invested in our second delivery van.
Hey, nice.
So, yeah. So with that investment, we are hoping this August, when the school season ramps back up, to be able to make it down to southern Humboldt, make it farther into Trinity County, and hopefully be able to go up to Del Norte County, because we do already work with the school up in Del Norte.
Yeah.
But currently, both of our drivers are driving and meeting in Oreck at the elementary school there, and doing a transfer by hand of every single case of produce that's offered. So I really love how dedicated the staff up there are to just be okay with doing that. But we really want to be able to actually bring them produce, because a lot mm-hmm. of those communities are the last ones to get anything. It's always so much more expensive for them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of schools in southern Humboldt are, you know, literally sending staff in their personal vehicles to drive up to Eureka to go do all of the shopping for their schools. So we really want to make sure that we're able to provide these services for everyone in our region.
Yeah. And like you're saying, it's great that people care about their communities and are passionate enough about good food that they're willing to put the time and labor mm-hmm. into making that happen. But that time and labor adds up, and that's what is a big part of what makes food and these resources expensive and hard to get in these remote areas. So just being able to cut down on those costs by having larger delivery vehicles, larger ways to get one job done once with less time, less moving hands, I could see how something like RFSI would really help to just kind of offer a solution for that mm-hmm. without having to come up with a grand scheme of like, how are we going to get a delivery van?
Yeah. And also with this RFSI funding, one of the next vehicle purchases we are going to make is a large refrigerated delivery box
Ooh.
Truck. So what that will allow us to do is aggregate a lot of the deliveries that our individual farmers do to the local grocery stores. So, you know, right now mm-hmm. we have several farms who, they come here, they drop off the produce that's ordered from us, but because our vehicle isn't large enough to take all of those farmers' products to, like, Eureka Natural Foods or the North Coast Co-op,
yep.
they all individually now are doing those deliveries.
Mm.
So the intention would be that they could just drop off all of their products here, even if these grocery stores are still maintaining their relationships with these farmers and putting their orders in with the farmers, we can still do that last mile delivery and take mm-hmm. a larger vehicle out. So instead of 5 to 10 different vehicles all going to the same buyers each week.
Yeah.
We can have all of the farmers coming to one location and then have a single vehicle be doing all of those deliveries.
And, you know, this also incentivizes wholesalers to buy local, too, because it's like less hats for everybody. You know, like you hear that thing where the farmer has to be a horticulturalist, that they also have to be an accountant, and they have to be a delivery driver, and they have to be a bookkeeper, and especially the small-scale farmers who were doing all these different things at once. But then also for the stores, too, I'm sure they would prefer to deal with one customer or one sales point as opposed to having, like, 12 local farmers come in. That's probably a big reason or one thing that makes it so much easier for them to order from someone like Sysco.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that this helps people on both sides of distribution kind of like wear less hats and make it more simple for everyone. So do you have any memorable success stories from buyers or farmers using the Harvest Hub?
Yeah, I will go back to the Burnt Ranch Elementary School. They have a scratch kitchen out there. So their chef actually makes every single thing that the kids eat completely from scratch, which is so amazing. And prior to the Harvest Hub, you know, they weren't really able to access a lot of produce. Sysco trucks often don't go to really small buyers. They have, you know, a minimum purchase, or you have to pay, you know, $100 or $200 delivery fee to go out to some of these isolated communities. So the nutrition director was having to, you know, after she worked for an entire day, drive all the way into town to be doing all of her food purchasing. So now it's really amazing to be able to see just how creative she can get with all of these foods. They buy just tons of zucchini leading up to when zucchini season's going to be over to freeze so that she can make zucchini bread throughout whole winter for them. Or, you know, tons of apples and then makes apple chips. And then that's a nice, healthy, crunchy snack that she can put with all of the different foods. I was able to go out and visit for an appreciation day out there for veterans and farmers. And it was one of the best lunches I think I've ever eaten in my life, you know, regardless of being in a school or not.
Yeah.
So these kids are eating really, really amazingly. And that's really what motivates us to do what we're doing. You know, when we walk into a cafeteria and we walk past a line of kids going in to eat lunch and they're all saying, oh, the carrots are here. And this is so exciting. And yeah, so, yeah, just really being able to work with all of the schools is one of the best parts of our jobs. And in terms of farmers, just hearing, I think, the first year Willow Creek Farms saying that he didn't have to send any of his produce out of the area that year. You know, he usually would have to take all of his excess produce and sell through Veritable Vegetable, who's a really great company, as they bring fresh produce up here to our buyers. They do what's called backhaul, where they can take... they can buy produce from farmers up here and bring it down south and, you know, connect them with buyers like Whole Foods or different wholesale buyers out of the area.
Yeah.
But just to think about all of the food being grown in Humboldt County, being able to be consumed in Humboldt County now because there's a channel that makes that easier for buyers, was also just such a great story and something that we're trying to do. You know, we really want to be able to keep all of the food here locally. And one of the primary reasons that that wasn't happening was it was just too burdensome to make all of those connections and relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of gaps to fill, but we're slowly filling them in. And I love that with the school, just kind of, it's so positive on so many levels, like getting kids healthy meals at schools, besides just like what I had growing up. I went to like a nice elementary school growing up, but we had Sysco, like Goldfish and pizza.
Yeah.
not actual Goldfish, like crackers. But to have like good local healthy food like that, and to establish like a good association with healthy local food at a young age too, to be like excited about vegetables at a young age and to know what good vegetables taste like. I think that was a thing for me. I when I I didn't like veggies as a kid. And then once I got into gardening with my grandparents and stuff like that, actually tasting out really good organic produce grown in good soil, I realized like there is a big difference, and that can make a big impact on someone's health, like especially if they learn that early in life. And then also just, yeah, the impact it has on local economies too, not having to find buyers outside the county. It's great that farmers are able to sell their produce, but I think it's even better when you can keep it local and maybe get it out to somewhere that wasn't able to get it before, like Burnt Ranch Elementary, which is, yeah, pretty far out there. So that's amazing. And I guess this feeds into my next question. Like, overall, how do you think this program has shifted the local economy? Do you think there's any measurable impacts? And I say the local food economy, I should be more specific.
Yeah, I mean, it also positively impacts our local economy in general. Between when we launched this program in 2023, mm-hmm. through the end of 2024, I had calculated that we had generated an extra $1 million of revenue for our farmers.
Wow.
Which I feel like could be game changing, especially if you're a new and beginning farm who, you know, maybe you have a little bit more produce than you can sell at the farmer's market, but not enough to really get into these larger buyers like Eureka Natural Foods or the co-op. This mm-hmm. is a really nice middle ground to be able to, you know, really get the most market value out of all of the products that you can grow on your farms. And because we work with a lot of, you know, community organizations and institutional buyers, like most of our customers are schools, tribes, and food banks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their funding comes from grants and other sort of funding programs like that. So instead of, you know, when we shop at the farmer's market, I feel like we always say, you know, we want to keep our money local, right? We're all earning money in our jobs. And one of the reasons we shop at the farmer's market is because we want those dollars to stay in our community for longer versus getting spent with a corporation that just almost immediately leaves this area.
Yeah.
But that $1 million is basically funding that wasn't here in Humboldt County before, that has been now injected into our economy because of our local farmers.
Mm-hmm. I see, because they're making this, a lot of these institutions that get these opportunities for grants, these farmers are kind of helping make that opportunity happen, get that grant money to help fund their food programs with local produce.
Yep.
That is amazing.
And now that money is here, we can focus on how to keep it here and keep spending it here. But that's $1 million that our county didn't have before.
And that was just the first year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. I think mm-hmm. that's a great sign. And I guess, what do you think is next for the Harvest Hub? Any dream projects or any gaps you're hoping to fill?
Just living in a really rural area up here in Humboldt County, there's a lot of gaps in our local food system, particularly in what we call the middle of the supply chain. So, like, anything that's sort of after the food gets harvested, before it gets to the end consumer. So that's a lot of, like, processing equipment, cold storage,
yeah.
All of the ordering and delivering and all of that we do.
Mm-hmm.
You see across the country a lot of these middle of the supply chain entities closing, and especially here on the North Coast, there's not really a variety of businesses that step in to fill that void.
Yeah.
So in 2021, when we lost Humboldt Bay Packers, which is our last large-scale cold storage facility that farmers could rent and ranchers could rent space in, fishermen could rent space in there for frozen and also cold products. It shuttered its doors in 2021, and we don't have another facility that has opened up.
Mm.
So because of that, you know, we try to see the different aspects or the different infrastructure like this that's needed for our farmers, and we're working to fill those gaps. Right now, NCGA is working to do a feasibility study of a new meat processing facility here in Humboldt County since the closure of Redwood Meats. Which has really impacted our smaller meat producers hugely. You know, some of the larger ranchers have the infrastructure and the ability to easily send, you know, trailerfuls of animals out of the area to be processed.
Right.
It still poses difficulties and, you know, increases their costs, but it's really the burden of a lot of those impacts fall on our smaller producers who don't really have the time or the infrastructure to be able to do that. There also isn't a lot of, I feel like if you live in Humboldt County, you know, there's not a lot of available commercial kitchen space for rental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But especially
a huge thing. Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And especially for like specific types of equipment that farmers need, you know, cider presses, freeze dryers, fermentation vessels, things like that aren't usually available in traditional commercial kitchens. So even if there was space that farmers could rent, they would have to also invest in this extra layer of equipment that doesn't traditionally come with a commercial kitchen. So that's something else that we're looking at is what could it be? What could it look like to have NCGA operate a shared use commercial kitchen for our farmers that really has all of that equipment already in there?
I love it. Yeah, that's such a big thing. And I've seen some of the really good success stories out here in Humboldt with farmers that have been able to successfully make a value-added product. And a big part of that is having a commercial kitchen, being able to be up to code and be able to like pump out a large amount of product that oftentimes it's something more shelf stable or can get a little bit more of a price for. And yeah, that middle of the supply chain, it's a lot of gaps that we're kind of already filling in here, but we just need more of it. And so I love it. I think Harvest Hub's doing amazing things. I think it's going to keep doing amazing things. And I want to ask, where can our listeners sign up for Harvest Box or Harvest Hub if they want to buy wholesale?
Yeah, absolutely. On our North Coast Growers Association website, which is our name completely spelled out. So it's www.northcoastgrowersassociation.org. And you can click on the Harvest Hub and Harvest Box menu item, and that will direct you either to the Harvest Box page if you are an individual or a household who wants to get some deliveries straight to your home, or also if you are a wholesale customer who wants to sign up for an account, you can find that there as well.
All right. Final pitch. Why should someone tuning in right now get involved, farmer or customer, or maybe even a volunteer who just wants to help out?
I mean, food systems are just so amazing. Like you mentioned before, all of our farmers are such impressive people.
Yeah.
Just in terms of having to do HR and bookkeeping, you're basically a small business owner and also a bookkeeper and also are generally working 12 to 16 hours outside in the hot sun all day every day or in the cold, wet rain and mud all day every day. So I just love what I do because I get to be surrounded by such amazing people. And I think that that's how a lot of people feel in our community, you know, just really being able to see this amazing food, be close to such amazing people, and really like seeing the positive impact of your work. It's very immediate when you work in local food systems. Like I said, walking into a school and seeing how excited, you know, children are getting, or hearing a story of maybe a Harvest Box customer who has developed Parkinson's so can't shop at the farmer's market anymore because they're not able to carry the heavy amounts of produce, still being able to access local produce and just hearing about those success stories. It really is very motivational and very feel good work that we do.
Yeah, it's I totally share that sentiment, and it's you can't argue like this is nothing but good community stuff. And so I just want to say thank you so much. Thanks for coming in, talking to us about Harvest Hub and telling us all the amazing work you're doing and the positive impact it's having. I want to say to our listeners, please check out the show notes for links to more information on Harvest Hub and to our podcast website. And you can submit your own questions and suggestions on our website. Until then, keep supporting your local farms and farmers markets, and we will see you next time.